Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What a great night. What a great night. And God is in charge. God is in control. And we can just trust Him, and He will take care of us. Amen. Amen. Thank you, praise team. Thank you, musicians. What a great job tonight. If you have your Bibles, could you turn to 2 Corinthians 10? Good to have Pastor and Sister Dory and the family back with us. We're so good, glad that they're back safe. Amen. If you don't have it, can you say amen? Amen. 2 Corinthians 10. We're going to start in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come together. We thank you for this opportunity to learn of you. I pray that you will speak to us. Help me to speak your words and only your words. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We are in a battle. And I'm not talking about the politics or Ukraine or anything like that. I'm talking about battle that you and I face every day. And the battle is in our minds. It's not with one another. It's not with our neighbor, even if they're cranky. It's not with the person that cuts us off in the on the highway. But the battle is in our minds and how we think. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Our thoughts direct our lives. There's an old saying that says, our thoughts become words, our words become actions, our actions become habits, and our habits become character, and our character becomes our destiny. What we think directs our path in which we are going. If we're always fearful, and our thoughts are always of fear, we are going to walk around timid and always in fear because that's what we're thinking. We're thinking everything's going to get us. If you have a victim mentality, then you will walk around and be a victim. What your thoughts are going to dictate where you're going to head. And so sometimes we can really relate to Paul. And as the hyphen group knows, in chapter 7, Paul is talking in Romans 7:15, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do." Tongue twister, but it really is, we really want to do right. Our intentions are to do right. But yet we fail to do right. And then we're like, oh, Lord, help me to do right. Help me to think right. Help me to, Lord, please forgive me for those thoughts. Please forgive me for saying that out of anger. Please forgive me out of doing that. And then we walk a couple steps and then we do what we don't want to do, and then we don't do what we want to do, and we're back in that cycle. And so tonight, I want to do a little thing with us tonight. Craig Groeschel wrote a book called Winning the War in Your Mind, And in his book, he did an exercise called a thought audit. And so if they could put up the first one, on a scale to 1 to 10, now this is, don't raise your hand or yell out your number, but just think about yourself. On a scale to 1 to 10, are your most of your thoughts being are worried thoughts, or are they peaceful thoughts? Are your thoughts more on the worried side of things? When you wake up, what are your first thoughts? When you're going to bed and your brain is still going, are you worried? Or are you having peaceful thoughts? Out of a scale to 1 to 10, are your thoughts negative or positive? Do you see everything as the glass half full or glass half empty? Take a second and think about it. What are your thoughts? And last, out of scale 1 to 10, are your thoughts worldly or eternal? If you're leaning to the worried and negative side of things, then more than likely you're going to be leaning to the worldly side of things. So take a moment. What are your thoughts? Are they of fear, negativity, lust, pride? Because you can only answer for you can answer for yourself. I can't answer for you. I can only answer for myself. And I have to take stock in, okay, what are my thoughts? Where are my thoughts taking me? Are they negative, or are they like Philippians 4, verse 8? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Where do you fall in that? Because again, our thoughts are dictating our direction. Where are your thoughts taking you today? Where are your thoughts, when you get the big picture and you see the end of the line, where are your thoughts taking you? And do you really want to go there? If it's depression or and thoughts of depression, do you really want to go there? If it's anxiety, lust, what's the end product of thoughts of lust? We have to decide, and first of all, we have to understand what our thoughts are. We have to see and look and say, okay, I have to do a true assessment of my thoughts. Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We are to renew our mind and have the thoughts that are pure, the thoughts that are eternal, peaceful, positive. Well, how do you do that in a negative world? That renewing means to renovate, to completely change for the better. How many of you ever renovated a room or completely changed a room in your house and you had to gut it? That's some work. That's not just going in and putting a paint job on. That's going in and taking all, in my case at my house, taking out the plaster and the wood lasts, getting all the old wiring out, making sure the studs are good, and redoing the whole thing. That's what the scripture is telling us to do with our thoughts. It's saying, renovate your thoughts. Tear down those strongholds that are built up in your mind that are negative, that are of depression, that are of anxiety, that are of lust, that are of pride, that are of no one loves me. I don't fit in. I'm not good enough. We all face these thoughts. And we can sit, I can sit here and go, oh no, I don't have any of those thoughts, and I'd be lying to myself. Because there's many times when I'm getting ready to get up and speak, those thoughts of, you know you can't do this. You know you're not going to have the right words to say. And if you're honest with yourself, you're going to say, yeah, I have negative thoughts. I have these thoughts. Thoughts of suicide, thoughts of self-harm. That's what we face because we have a carnal side that's battling the spiritual side for dominance. And we're always at war. We can never take a day off, can't take a minute off. That's why the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God, and you have to do it daily. So the renewing of our mind is a process. When we renovate a house or renovate a room, it's a process. It's not a 30-minute job. It is sometimes months long when you're doing a physical. So renewing your mind and renovating your mind is not going to be, okay, I prayed for 5 minutes. My mind should be great. On with the day, YouTube, here I come. It's going to take a process. We are going through a process of renewing our mind or dismantling the strongholds and building up new strongholds of faith. A stronghold that we should have in our mind is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. There should be no compromise on that. That should be a stronghold. That should be a stronghold. But a stronghold that says you're not worth it, God doesn't love you, shouldn't last. We should do what it takes to destroy those strongholds so that we can have right thoughts and our thoughts would be pure. A lot of times, well, our thoughts are put there. We get our thoughts and our reactions from basically our environment, how we were brought up, what we take in, what movies we watch, what music we listen to, what radio stations we listen, whether we listen to talk podcasts. These all load into us. Someone gave the example of listening to some music that wasn't right, and they said, I just listened to it for the beat. I don't even pay attention to the words. But those words and the spirit that comes with those songs are getting into your spirit. And at some point in time, they're going to manifest itself in you. And so when you listen to music that is not godly, then at some point in time, those things are going to come out of your spirit. And we have to guard ourselves against those things. The movies we watch, that's just one cuss word. It's not too bad. Then the second one pops up, and it's like, that's only two cuss words. And we justify because, well, it's funny. It makes me laugh. And we justify what we intake into our spirit as to, it's not that bad. What are the TV shows promoting that we watch? You go back to the old days. They're not as pure as what you think. So it's not like we can go, I'm watching old stuff. You got to be careful about whatever you watch. You wonder why our forefathers in Christ preached so hard against TVs. Now we have TVs in our hand. And it's so easy to get caught up and start with one reel, look up 2 hours later, and it's like, what just happened? I was just watching dog reels, the cute dog reels. And there's 2 hours gone from your day that have no real spiritual production. So what we spend the majority of our time doing is going to affect how we think. So we need to start the process of tearing down these strongholds. And we need, but first thing we got to do is identify what the stronghold is. We have to look and go, okay, what are my thoughts? And are they ones of negativity? Are they ones of hate? Are they ones of anger? We have to identify what we're facing so that we know what we're supposed to do to battle those things. One thing that we should pray when we're putting on the armor of God, when we pick up the shield of faith, is, Lord, help me to know and understand the issues that I'm going to face today so I know how to defend myself in faith. Because the battles every day, armor's got to be on every day. Armor's got to be on every day. So I've got a list of things that we need to do as we're starting to renovate, as we're starting to get the sledgehammer out and hitting the walls and knocking out the walls. And this list is not in order of importance, because they're all important. They're all important. First and foremost, we need to be praying. If you're not praying every day, there's an issue. If you're not taking time, not as you're driving to work, not as you're sitting at your desk going, Lord, help my attitude against that coworker who is just upsetting me today. You and I need to take time to talk to God. And if we can, multiple times a day, so that we get in a mindset of prayer. Praying always is a mindset of prayer. So you're always trying to be connected and have that open connection with God so that he can speak to you and you instantly react. There has to be that. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God with which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, if we take everything in prayer, this is automatically telling you what's going to happen. If we're taking everything in prayer to God and we're continuing to pray and talk to God, there's going to be a peace that is going to be in our lives, which means our worry factor should be gone. Because the peace that passes all understanding is going to be residing in us because we are doing what the scripture tells us to do. Secondly, we need to fast regularly. If you're not fasting once a week, I think Pastor has said this before, probably several times. If you're not fasting once a week, you need to be. Then you also need to be open for God to give you an extended fast. And be willing to do it. Isaiah 58 and 6 says, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Basically, it's saying, knock down all the strongholds. When we're fasting, and yes, we're saying no to food, but there's more than just getting our bodies under subjection. We're doing it for a reason, so that we are winning battles, and that we're getting disciplined in our warfare. Fasting is just not something that we just kind of do intermittently. You may be doing that, but you should have a specific time that you fast, where you're fasting and praying and you're doing it deliberately for God. Third, and I'll be wrapping up shortly. Third, we need to consume the word. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The word of God is our weapon. When we're putting on the armor, we're picking up the sword of the spirit. We have to have the whole arm. I'm repeating this because I need you to understand. Every single day is a prayer day. Every single day is a be in your word day. I know we like the devices and everything. I tend to choose to like the paper, the book, so that I can mark it up. Although I have marked up the YouVersion Bible on mine, I've got it highlighted. But we have to be in the word. And there's a difference between reading the word and studying the word. We can read books all day long, and they can come in one ear and out the other, but when we start to study and learn what God is wanting to talk to us about in that verse or in that chapter, then we're starting to get context, and we're starting to get our lives changed, and our thoughts are going to change because we are putting the word in. We're taking time away from YouTube, taking time away from Netflix, taking time away from whatever outside the word is doing, you're doing, and you're going, I got to focus in, read and study the word, and get what God is saying to me today. You've heard preachers say this many times. I've read that chapter or read that verse many times, but I've never seen that. Because there's something new all the time in the word of God. And we need to know and understand what God's word is saying to us. I can't rely on pastors preaching to get me to heaven. Pastor's a great man. And you know what? You can come to him and ask him something about the Bible, and I don't know how he does it. But his brain's just like, oh yeah, 2 Timothy 4 says. Actually, I know how he's done it. He's opened up the book, spent long times reading it, studying it. It's not exclusive to a pastor. It's not exclusive to a preacher to know the word. You need to know the word. I need to know the word. There's no, we need to know the word. Psalms 119:11, thy word have I hidden mine heart that I might not sin against thee. So how do I stop sinning? How do I reduce the chances of my sinning? Oh, hide the word in my heart. That's not just reading. That's not just listening and having it to play it to you. Because I do all of this. I have it played to me. I read it. I go to bed at night with the word, with the YouVersion reading the word to me because I go to sleep. But Psalms 119. How many have ever really read Psalms 119? It takes about 20, 25 minutes if you're a slow reader like me. But if you want to see what our attitude is, should be towards the word, read that. You have like 150 verses of saying, your word is great. I love your word. I can't live without your word. There's nothing that I want to do but read your word. Psalms 119 is just an awesome thing. Psalms 119:9 in the Amplified says, how can a young man keep his way pure? by keeping a watch on himself according to your word, conforming his life to your precepts. Conforming our life to what we read and we learn when we study the word. We were talking about this, Becky and Nathan and Austin and I were talking about this earlier this week, and Nathan said, we really need to change what entertains us. And I'm like, yeah, that's about right. And there's a bunch of us in the church that are podcast people, and I recommend AJ Holloway's McCraw podcast. But he says on his, he goes, think of the Bible as a movie, and look at the different scenes, and you look at the different threads of the storylines and stuff, and see how they all lead to Jesus. But if your brain works better thinking of that, oh, this scene, how does this scene connect to this scene? Then that's a way to think about it. So if I said, Luke, I am your father. How many know exactly what I'm talking about? How many of you can actually see the scene in your head? Or every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings. The one I hate. But what happens when you do when someone does a line from your favorite movie, your brain automatically goes to that scene, but not just that scene, to the scenes before and the after. Then all of a sudden your brain starts working and you're thinking, that movie was really cool. I really missed that part. You know, remember that part? Remember that scene? And then pretty soon you're watching the movie. All from someone saying a line. All from someone saying a line. What would happen? I'm referencing both my boys tonight. Austin said in a class a couple weeks ago, we have three voices talking to us. God, ours, and the devil. God speaks the positive things, what we need to do. We speak the negative things, and the devil just basically backs up our negative things and then pushes us into it. But what if someone, our thought comes in and says, I'm not really worth it. And that triggers a scene from the Bible movie. And you start thinking of a scripture that says, fear not, I am with you, I love you. What if that started to happen? Or if someone comes up and really irritates you and is making you mad, and that instead of triggering the blah, 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 it triggers, be angry, sin not. Love your enemy. Pray for them that despitefully use you. And you start going, Lord, I pray that you bless them. You know, help them to have a great day. J.R. tells a great testimony. He was having a problem with someone. He prayed that they'd get a change in jobs. What was a promotion? He prayed for her to get a promotion. Guess what? A week or two later, she got promoted. He has no more problem. But when our thoughts are triggered by things and it goes to a spiritual or the Bible, then that's when we have the right reaction. A lot of our reactions are just boom out there. If we're told a joke, we don't have to sit there and go, the joke gets done, and then we have to go, okay, I'm going to laugh now. No. They tell the joke, and because of our response, it's built into us. We have built into that. If we hear something funny, we laugh. Or if we, Becky's at home and she's watching a dog video, and the dog does something cute, she automatically goes, oh. Because that's our we've trained ourselves into reacting that way. See, when we get a negative thought and we just allow it to just fester in us, and then we get another negative thought, we get another, it's building trails in our brains. We're just basically building our brain to be negative by continuing to think negatively. So opposite is the same. If we start thinking positive, if we start thinking the Bible, then we're going to be building our brain to start working in that situation. Jesus gave us the greatest example, because he is the greatest, on how to react to temptation. Matthew 4, 1 through 4, but I'm just, says, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But he answered and said, Jesus answered and said, it is written. Every time the devil came at him, he goes, it wasn't, well, yeah, it was, it is written. When we face an attack or we face depression and we start building our brain of going, it is written. It is written. When we start doing that and we start practicing this every day, you'll see the strongholds that have held us so tightly start to crumble. And we'll see our brain is going to, we'll be on the peaceful side. We'll be on the positive side. We'll be on the eternal side of thinking, because we have purposely worked at getting our thought life under obedience to Christ. So Psalms, I'm finished with this. Psalms 1, 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Okay, we've pushed aside all the negative. We pushed aside the things that are giving us negative thoughts, building up those things, and we've started to meditate on the Lord, meditate on the Word every day and night. Now this comes. This is what happens when we start doing that. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. See, when we take action, God comes in and goes, this is what I'm going to give you. You're going to prosper if you do this. But we have to stay away from the counsel of the ungodly. We have to stay away from the way of the sinners. We have to stay away from sitting in the seat of the scornful, the people that put down people all the time. That's a hard one for us, because sometimes we want to jump on board because we may not like that person at that time. They may have upset us. But that's not how we're supposed to be reacting. We're supposed to be reacting the way God wants us to react. Can we all stand? Praying the word is going to be helpful. If you go through the Bible and start finding places that you can pray, Psalms 23 is an easy one that everybody usually knows. The Lord is my shepherd. What's great about that chapter is it's written by David, who was a shepherd and knew all about leading sheep. And yet he goes, the Lord is my shepherd. I know how I treat my sheep. And I'm not going to harm them. I'm not going to lead them to dirty water. I'm not going to lead them in places that they're going to die. The Lord is my shepherd, because he's going to lead me in the same way. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, thy rod of correction, thy staff of direction. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Just think, you got a nice little buffet going, and your enemy's sitting right next to you, but because the king has made it, and the king has set you there, there's not this... There's this. You got me. He's expecting us to sit down. How many of you find sitting down at a nice meal kind of relaxing, kind of when you have nice conversation going, it's kind of just a nice time? Picture that. Picture that and get that feeling and think, oh, yeah, devil's sitting there. Yeah, I'll try. All right, cool. What did you guys? That's our mindset. And we kind of can go, yeah, that's kind of weird. But the mindset is we are overcomers. God loves us and he wants what's best for us. He's looking out for us. And so our thoughts should be that, reflect that. Our thoughts should not be negative. Our thoughts should not be of fear. We should have peaceful thoughts, loving thoughts. Can we raise our hands around the building? Lord, I pray that you will help us today, that you will help us to identify the strongholds that we've allowed to be built in our lives. And I pray that you help us to tear them down. Help us to identify the things that we've allowed into our lives, and the things that are bringing those things in, whether it be something we're watching, something we're listening to. Lord, help us to identify those things so that we can remove those and replace them with what you want us to replace them with, so that we will walk according to your word, and that we will walk in peace, and that we will walk in joy, because you are such an awesome God, and you're worthy of everything that we are. Because you are such an awesome God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your peace that you give us right now. Thank you for the joy, your salvation. You are a holy God and we love you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray that you will go with us tonight. Keep us safe. All those that have we've been praying for, I pray, Lord, that you will continue to heal them, move in those situations. Go with us, bring us back safe. Bring the youth group safe from the campgrounds, help them to have a great service. Bring the young at heart safely back from their trip on Saturday so that we can have an awesome blowout service on Sunday. Help us to come expecting. Help us to bring a friend. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for coming tonight. Remember, fill your thoughts with the word.